Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Becky.
And Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Becky.
So this is our last episode of 2024, and it is more in line with what we did last year for our year-end episode. But Leah and I will not be doing our typical year-end month-to-month wrap-up that we've done the last few years. Last year, we put it over to Patreon. And we'll get into it a little bit here after we get going on some of this. But this was just not my reading here. So, yeah. So it's that time of year again, the moment we've all been waiting for, our best reads of 2024 episode. Today, reflecting on the incredible books we've read this year, we're sharing the romances that made us laugh, cry, swoon, and stay up all night reading. Each of us has picked our top 3 to 5 reads because there are no rules for these people. And let me tell you, it wasn't easy to narrow them down, which some of us have a list of 12. I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm just leaving them on there so that I can edit as I go. I won't say that many.
Yeah, I have 24 top reads, but they're like game time decisions. I will pick one.
I definitely did not have 24.
So I did something different. I did a bracket. I started in January and I did a bracket for myself. And nice. I like did two. Like I did a top read of the month and then I did two. So then I did like a double elimination bracket. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I did every month on Instagram. I picked a couple and put them on my Instagram so I would have easy access. So
that was smart too.
Reading was a hot mess this year, so it was.
Well, and did your Kindle disconnect from your Goodreads again?
No, I never reconnected it.
Oh.
So according to my Goodreads, that's like attached to my Kindle, I read 24 books. I didn't actually only read 24 books, but yeah.
Oh, so is it because you don't want like those reading insights? Is that the deal?
No, because I somehow last year got disconnected.
She had to change her password or something.
I had to change something and it got disconnected and it messed my whole year up. And then I just forgot to reconnect it after a while. And then after 2025 or 2024 started, I realized I didn't connect it back. So I just didn't worry about it.
Huh.
But honestly, like but this year it would have been a hot mess anyway. Cause like my reading year, like I probably was in a slump 10 out of 12 months this year.
So I have to say something, cause this is just funny to me. So everybody got their Spotify wraps at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Everybody was sharing them and talking about them and how excited their wrap up for the year was. The book readers get their Goodreads wrap and they're ragey and angry because they came out too early. They came out on December the 15th.
Yep, I was mad.
And I'm like, these are the same bitches that were okay with their Spotify wrap at Thanksgiving.
It made me laugh.
Not me. I don't do Spotify, so I don't have a Spotify wrapped. I would have been
really
mad
hard
if I got
when
it
I saw that.
November.
Not that Amanda was mad, because I understand why. I understand why people are upset, but it's like they were sharing the Spotify stuff. So proud of it.
Somebody did point out to me that there was some fine print on the Goodreads that said they are going to update it as you go through the year. So supposedly this year, they're going to keep it updated so that you can do an actual end of the year
wrap up.
Oh, so we'll see.
We shall see.
I'll report back.
I should
back.
Just dump a bunch of reviews over there.
But I think it's people like, as like prolific readers, we're like, hey, we still have time. Yeah. Where like, other people are like, yeah, I'm not going to finish a book by Christmas or, you know, New Year.
Then those people that set the goals too.
I saw somebody share that they were in the top 10% of readers and reviewers on Goodreads. And they were really proud of that. And I was like, oh my God, that's really great. And competitive Becky was like, but I'm in the top 1%. I thought it's
too.
Because nobody reads like you read. So just let it go, sister. But my pettiness was like, I'm a better reader than you are.
Can I just say, like, how mad I am where there are people who are like out there on Instagram and the TikTok being like, how do these people read this many books? Do they not have
Okay,
jobs?
this
Or
is
like,
not a hot
how can
takes
people?
episode. Knock it off.
I know, but can I just say that with the Goodreads thing? Like, it just makes me angry. Like, who cares how many books you can read in a year? If you can read five, great job.
All
If
it
you can
says is,
read 500, also good.
all it says is, I don't have a life. You people are my social life.
I
You're
always tell
welcome.
people I do not watch TV.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
And
watch TV.
I'm not reading like British lit. You know what I mean? I'm not reading like super in-depth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to really process the words. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that when I read historical, which is why I can't read it. I can just process it faster.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Also, I
everybody's
sit at
different.
swim meets for 6 hours and I read fast.
Yeah.
So if I read the entire swim meet, I can read two books
Yeah.
at a swim meet because they're 6 hours long. So,
Yeah. We go to
but I
hockey
also
and we
read
have
really
to be there an
fast. So,
hour early, and I sit in the car and I read
I
because I don't want
miss
to talk to
that. Okay, so
people.
when my kids were younger, I miss that time. I would leave. Like, I know why moms leave an hour early to go to the pickup line. That's a whole hour of quiet in your car that you can read. I miss the kids like having activities and picking them up
And you
because
can
I
just
would
sit in the
leave
parking
an
lot.
hour early and sit in the parking lot and read a book. And Mike never really got it, but man, those were good times. I read a lot of books
Carla
those.
Sorensen does that. She sits in the car and writes.
Krista Sandor
Well,
too, right? Doesn't
yeah.
she
Krista
sit?
Sandor
No,
sits
Krista
in her
was just
driveway.
writing in her
Yeah,
car
she just likes to
for.
write in her. No, sometimes it's the Walmart parking lot.
Okay.
But like there for a
Or
while, she would sit in the garage
Marie
in the car.
Johnston does sit outside her children's volleyball games and
Yes.
basketball games
And
and
swim meets. Her kids swim
swim. Yeah.
also.
Okay, so before we get into our list and kind of talk about books and tropes and stuff that dominated, I'm going to give this list because we had this. I had this for the last episode, and I just thought this was very interesting. So in 2024, the most successful romance books based on sales and review numbers. Funny Story by Emily Henry, which none of us consider
It's not a
romance.
romance.
This Could Be Us by Kennedy Ryan.
Good for her.
The Striker by Anna Hong. Bride by Allie Hazelwood. Those are the top grossing books and also the top reviewed books, talked about books of 2024. Now, the top indie release of 2024. This is not going to make any of you happy.
Nope.
Great.
I already saw it and I'm already
Yeah.
grumpy about
Play Along by Liz Tomford. This novel sold really well, but it also is the sole indie book that was in the nominees for the Goodreads Choice Awards Best of Romance 2024. It is the only indie title that made it into the final round of the best of for Goodreads.
No, Goodreads has poor
What?
opinions.
Yep,
I did not vote for that book.
I don't vote for any Goodreads things. Like, I just don't think that they're.
I voted for Kennedy Bryan
See,
just
and I would have voted for
because
Kennedy. I
I
just don't.
felt like it.
Yeah. No, I think that's
She
fair.
deserves that. She
Yeah.
does.
Definitely.
And.
Sometimes I'll go in and vote for people that I know or authors that I like just to bump them above
Yeah,
authors
and
that
the
I think.
Goodreads Choice Awards, we learned it last year. It's based on like average ratings, numbers of reviews, and numbers of shelves of read shelves it sits on.
That's impressive for Anna's book, The Striker, though, because that one came out later in the year.
It did.
So
It came
She
out
there was
this
a
fall.
big marketing push.
Yeah.
Because she was on what she was on Drew Barrymore or Kelly
Oh,
Clarkson or
that's
one of
right.
those. She
Yeah.
was on. It was Drew Barrymore because it was her and that guy, Ross.
Wow.
Bloom had 25 books make it into bestsellers list this year. That is bestseller of USA Today and bestseller New York Times. They had 25 unique titles hit the bestsellers list this year, Which again goes to prove my point that publishing is building their profits on the back of indies, because those every book
it's every single Bloom one of those books started as an indie book
is a hybrid. Well, not all of them. Some of them were new releases. And
were they though?
Yeah, like Wild Eyes by Elsie Silver was an instant bestseller.
Yeah.
So, and again, we've talked about this a couple of times. Things like first run prints, sprayed edges, special editions are going to drive those to being New York Times bestsellers.
Yeah, so. I mean, we buy them too. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We buy them.
However, I will say I go to indie bookstores and I did a ton of indie bookstores this year. Or, I mean, not a ton, but I hit at least 10. And if I saw Bloom on there, I refused to buy it. I'm like, this isn't an indie bookstore. I told them, I'm like, I'm not, this is a publisher and they have money behind them that people like that don't.
So. Yeah.
My husband good was like, you. What is wrong with you? It's like, no. I'm educating people where I can.
That's right. We're doing the Lord's work. okay. So in general, what makes a book a top read for you?
I have to like be months out of the book and still remember big parts of it, like the character name. Like I have to still be thinking about them.
Yeah. So when I did my list, you know, sometimes when we talk about books, we put our list together for trope lists. Like I have to go back and look at a book and figure out. I'll be like, oh, I have to go back and look at the details. When I put this list together, I didn't have to go back and look at any details. I remembered all of them. I remembered what happened.
Same.
They're all still sitting with me like months later. So yeah, I think that's the biggest factor for me.
Yeah.
Oh. It's that scene that comes to mind in a moment, you know, where I'll be sitting there and then all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, do you remember that scene? I liked that scene.
Yeah. Well, I just want it, like, it's a book that like I constantly want to talk to people about. Like, I want to be like, have you read this book? Like, you need to read this book.
Yeah.
I also, a lot of times too, it's not just that I want people to read the book, but I look at that book and I think, oh my God, that is a story for Jenny, or that's a story for Gloria. We recently had a book that she and I went back and forth on, and she's like, can I read this? Because we had the audio downloaded from the library, and I was like, yes, read it, because nobody else is talking about it. But it was fun and it was quirky and just a little outside the norm, but not ridiculously outside the norm. And so then it's that shared moment because, wow, we both really loved this book.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we sometimes bond over a bad book. You know, we all feel vindicated when we're like, oh God, that book sucked. Why did we read that?
Yeah, but sometimes we need to read those books though at the same time, because it makes the books that we enjoy that much more like effective and emotional for us.
Yeah. Is there a certain kind of hook or hype that has to come from a book for it to hit your list? Like when you look at your list, is your list bestsellers? Is your list the books that came with a lot of hype behind them, like releases were exciting for them? Or are the majority of your books kind of like those quiet, subtle books that really no one's really talking about?
I think minor authors, for the most part, minor authors that I've read before, that I'm already like, I know that I like their books, or they're authors that I found in our community, that you guys have recommended to me. I have, only a couple that are not. So it's been the tried and true for me mostly this year, I think. I don't read books if they're popular.
That's the thing. Like I don't gravitate towards those popular books most of the time, because a lot of times those popular books are books that I'm not going to love anyway. So
yeah.
Well, we all know I don't actually read books. People tell me to. Like, that's glaringly obvious.
True story.
So for me, they're books that I like are my tried and true authors that I have grown to love. Like I feel like their diamonds in the rough, maybe. And I look forward to their releases.
So not necessarily our top books, but if we look at top reads in 2024, do you think there were any tropes, trends that dominated books this year that might have played into your list? Like, I think the no third act breakup books really took off this year. They became
Yeah, they
rampant.
were everywhere. They
Yeah.
were.
And it became a big marketing point.
I have facts on that actually that you guys will think are funny. I used a Google form, and that was one of my things that I was tracking was if they had like a third act breakup. There's some like user error probably where I'd have to like remember to click the button, right? But the what was it? I wrote it down specifically for Becky. So 34% of my books had no third act breakup.
I think that's pretty high because
Yeah.
I would ve and then I would venture to guess you probably have another 30% that are suspense.
I never tracked. That's something I should probably track. But so one of the other things that I was tracking was like Golden Retriever or Cinnamon Roll and Small Town, and all three of those things were very high.
Very high. And so in 2023, I would have said it was the dawning of the small town. We had hockey, but we knew going out of 2023, hockey would kind of simmer down a little bit, but the trend was going to be those small town romances. That's where we saw movement happening. So in your list, do you feel like you have a lot of small town romances? Did you read to meet that trend this year?
I read a lot of small town romances, but I also, again, this year did large backlist binges. So I was reading like a ton of small town. I have a, but honestly, though, I think my top ones aren't, I don't
Small.
have that many small town in my top books. But I read a lot and I enjoyed them a lot. But
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, but there are certain authors that you read, like
Yeah.
they only write small town, or not only,
Exactly.
but they more often than not write the small town. So if you're reading an entire series by someone, like say you do discover Aurora Rose Reynolds, like she typically writes a small town. So if you're reading her 30 book backlist, like it's all small town.
Yeah, I mean, and
Aside from
she and
like
Jessica
maybe
Prince
six
were,
or seven books.
yeah, she and Jessica Prince were my most read authors. Like, I binged both of them. So I read a ton of Small Town this year.
And Jessica Prince, every single book is a small town.
Is Small Town.
I had a lot of small
You had a
town.
lot of Small Town too.
Yeah, a lot.
But that's one of those things. I don't think the small town is necessarily new, but I think the way they're getting written is new, and like the lack of the third act breakup in the small town and throwing like small town cowboys in
I think
was
the
kind of
other
the
thing we're
thing.
seeing in Small Town too is they're using it as a landing place, but they can pull in these other tropes, billionaires, hockey. They can come to the small town. I mean, typically, if you look at books from 2018, 2019, you saw small town, they were blue collar small town. They were not necessarily small town. The billionaire, the small town, the hockey player comes home. They were
Well,
small
unless it's
town.
like the fish out of water small town type of
But the
thing,
majority of them
right?
pre-2020 were going to be small town, blue collar. Like if we look at Erin Nicholas or we look at what Adriana Locke were writing pre-2020, it was a lot of blue collar small town. Billionaires and hockey players stayed to the big cities, and now they're kind of mixing it all together.
Well, and it's almost like they're trying to make the small towns into cities, but you can't do it because it doesn't work
Well, I
right.
don't think the vibe then is as authentic as a small town romance reader wants it to be.
No, they're definitely like, if it doesn't feel small town, you can tell. Like if there isn't a diner, that's a no-go, right? And the
Well,
one bar.
and I feel like that with Laura Pavlov's
I mean,
book,
we have
her
like
small
three
towns
bars in my small town, so.
aren't really small towns. Like there's too many amenities for it to feel small town.
I only read one of hers, or well, DNF'd one of hers.
I think
I
that
didn't
if
get
you
any
can drive
further.
20 minutes and be stuck in traffic, you don't really live in a small town. You live in a suburb.
Yeah. I feel like if you live in a small town, everything has to close at 5. Like, you know what I mean? Or like, say, you know what I mean?
Right,
Like, you have
no.
to wonder how you're going to get something after a certain
Right.
period of time.
And small towns rarely have Ubers. Small towns really rarely have food delivery outside of pizza.
Hey,
Small
that's
town.
not true. My small town has DoorDash, but
Okay.
it's becoming more mainstream for that kind
But
of
like
stuff
Jenny's small
anyway.
town doesn't have DoorDash.
No, not yet.
The
So.
small town we were in last week, the guy from the bar, Bob, pulled into the hotel and brought Betty, who worked there or whatever, her dinner. And he was like, "Anyone heading to the hotel?" And I'm like, "I'm not bringing her food."
Hi, Betty's, you're gonna have to take care of Betty's dinner yourself. The other thing that I do think that we saw more this year than we've ever seen before, and I don't know if it's because it's terms people just kind of latched onto and started talking. I feel like we heard less about cinnamon roll heroes and more about golden retrievers. I think instead of having unlikable female heroines, they have re
Labeled.
branded them to black cat heroines. And I really feel like that was 2024.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I don't know that I love it. I mean, I didn't really love a cinnamon roll hero anyway, but I
I do love
just.
golden retrievers. I love a go like 58% of my books I labeled as golden retrievers.
I get that.
You're
And
like a good boy, that's
I
why.
do like a good boy.
And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, not every hero is for every person. Like
Right.
The labeling.
it's the label. Like a female heroine, I don't think we should call them unlikable just because they're
Strong.
strong or opinionated or a workhorse or they're taking control because they're the
Well,
ones
there's
in
such a
charge.
negative connotation to it in that sense. It's like you have to be the simpering idiot to be a good heroine. No, thank
And I
you.
do think we got one, like, there's only two heroine archetypes we saw this year. Either they were too stupid to live, or they were all what you would consider black cat. I don't feel like we got a lot of diversity in our female heroines this year.
Not a ton. I mean, there was a little bit here and there, but overall, not really. Not compared to past years.
I do think that a lot of books in 2024, by the end of 2024, started to get messy. Like we started to see just a little bit more predicaments in the books, you know?
Feel like that maybe started even a little earlier. I just think maybe I wasn't reading them that
Yeah.
early, you know, but I feel like there's a good amount of that this year.
And I like the messy, and I hope we
I
stick
do
with
too.
it. Because it gave us
Like, love
something
a
to talk
messy book.
about.
Like gritty. I call it like that gritty stuff where there's a lot kind of going on
And
and
I'm not
a
talking
lot of.
gritty like mafia, ridiculous
Nope.
craziness. I'm talking about human messiness, emotions, situations,
Well, it's
even
like
societal
emotional
situations.
turmoil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
I like the messy and I hope it
Please.
I hope it
Continues,
stays.
yes.
So real quick,
Yeah.
we did read quite a few debuts this year.
Yes.
When I Think of You by Maya Ariel was a debut I read this year that I really enjoyed. I'm really excited for her next book.
I have it on my Kindle.
Oh, did you grab it off NetGalley?
I
I
did.
need to go grab it. I'm super excited for hers. Gabriela Gomez, we read The Next Best Fling together.
Oh, I like that one a
That book
lot.
was
It was
so
so
messy.
messy. So messy.
But it was
Delightfully
so
messy.
good. But also, a debut should not be that good, you guys. Like, come
Yeah. It
on.
was. Like there was some things here and there, but it was really, really well done for a
Yeah.
debut.
Yeah. I was really impressed with the debuts that we got this year. Ivy Fairbanks, her Forbidden,
Morbidly
Morbidly
Yours.
Yours. It was good. It read as a debut, but I'm really excited to see how things go with her. I'm excited for the next book. We had Danica Neva to write the first rom-com with Indigenous rep. She has a second book that's coming out in 2025. So again, there was a lot of diversity. There were a lot of really great books, debut authors that came out in 2024. And I'm really excited to see how 2025 plays out for them.
I am too.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to our standouts, because I know that's why you ladies are here. You did not sign up for this episode to just pick apart trends. And after we're done, I will give you some predictions of 2025 market-wise that I think we might see after we get done. Well, I could do them real quick. I'll just do them real quick.
Yeah.
I think the Family Saga is going to be the theme of 2025. If you're watching Rivals by Jillie Campbell on Hulu, those are the vibes we're going to see at the end of 2025. Messy families are going to be in 2025. I think that we are going to see the authors that are picked up by TradPub slow a little bit. But I think it's going to be more deals of larger deals, like we saw for Amy Dawes, is where I think they're going next. I don't think we're just going to see paperback rights anymore. I think it's going to be, hey, we want to buy all the books, and now you become a labeled author. I think the majority of I think the majority of historical romance authors are going to move to romantasy.
Oh.
I think that they are not, because we know that TradPub isn't buying it.
Yeah.
Many of them don't know how to publish as an indie. They don't. That's not the author journey they've ever been on. So they're going to have a choice, women's fiction or romantasy. Romantasy is going to pay more money. I think they're going to go to romantasy.
Well, and there's a big surge in romantasy right now, like the buying of like romantasy manuscripts and things like that.
Yeah. And I think that's going to get oversaturated really quick.
I think by the end of 2025, we are going to be done and bored in romantasy. I think there are too many being bought right now.
Yep.
That I think it's, I also think, and I don't necessarily agree with this, but I do think there will be a surge in heartwarming, Hallmark-esque, quote unquote, clean romances in 2025.
I don't think you're wrong.
I think people who already write like mid to low spice are going to move even farther down and fade it to black in an effort to keep the censors at bay.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I'm interested about that, because there's a couple authors that I really liked that did that, and then they've kind of dropped off.
And then came back.
Yeah. Or they haven't come back yet.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I'm very curious, but I do think that in response to book bans, in response to wanting, you know, label warnings of age purchasing criterias on romance that we're seeing happening, people are talking about, I think a lot of authors, their response mechanism is going to be, hey, I'll just write fade to black. And maybe the spicy parts will be on their websites. So. Ooh. But those are my predictions for 2025. I don't know that I have an outstanding, I don't know that there will be any breakthrough authors in 2025.
I think 2025 is really going to be anybody's game at this point.
I do think that a lot of people that have been in reading romance 5+ years are going to do what we're doing and going back to the backlists and not reading the new releases. I think we're going to go back to where we're comfortable. And I think backlist like, will have movement.
We can trust it. I think that's the big thing. Like, we're going to where we know we can trust the
word. I've been here for 2 years. Come join me.
Live in the land of backlist with Amanda. But it's that whole vibe. I mean, we did a whole episode of those books we wish we could read again for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, if I could discover Maya Banks again, I know that the series is going to finish, I would be so happy. Rena Morgan, like to reread those, or
yeah, please read Maya Banks, but just know you will be left hanging at the end.
It's just there are books and there are authors that I wish, like, I'll be honest, Jay Salmon, I didn't read any of her books this year. Nope, and I wish she would go back to writing the way she used to and stop writing to trend. Yeah. Because it's not the same stories, they're not the same vibes, and it breaks my heart. So
I didn't read Laura Pavlov at all this year.
Yeah. Okay. So there's
But I did just read Dabney Perry for the first time this year, so that's, I'm weird.
We know. okay. Standout reads, ladies. We're just going to go around. We are not going to get into the weeds about why we loved them. Yeah. We have reviews over on Amazon. We have reviews on the website. We have reviews on Goodreads. We have reviews on Instagram. We're just going to name the title, name the author, and if maybe there's a standout moment or a memory or feeling associated to that book you want to share, but we are not getting deep into the weeds on these.
Okay.
Amanda, go first.
That's for you, Heather.
Oh, she's letting me go first, so I'm taking one of hers.
Oh, damn it.
King of Nothing by Aurora Rose Reynolds. I go on and on about the Until Him Her series, but this is a standalone. This book just, like, I don't know, it broke something inside of me. Like, I still think about it. Roman and Alora are on separate journeys dealing with grief, and I don't know. I love this book. If you want to try Aurora out, this is the perfect book to do it. Not going to go into it, but yeah.
Just make a comment that every book she put out this year was really well done.
Oh yeah.
Like, she had a banger year.
She did.
The books.
She did. That was a good one. That was a really good one. Heather, what do you got?
I have an unfinished memory. It's an Oil Knights book 3 by Marie Johnston. I normally don't like Marriage in Crisis or Second Chance. I mean, it's not really Marriage in Crisis because they divorced, but this was so well done. And the Oil Knight series is just one of my absolute favorites. And I think everyone should read it. But this one in particular, there's so much feeling. And yeah, it's just really good.
Okay, Leah, what was your one of your top reads?
Well, I was going to say that one, but
I'm sorry.
So I'm going to go actually Role Playing by Kathy Yardley. It was my first Kathy Yardley book. We did it for a Sip and Discuss. Like, this book was, I just really loved every moment of this
book. Was that a 2024 book, though?
I don't care.
Okay.
She is not following the rules, she said in her text message.
Oh, that's true.
She's not going to do it.
No rules.
There are no rules for me today. Okay. No, I don't care if it's 2024. But no, that book, like, I just, because honestly, like, I didn't read a, I read a bunch of new ones, but a lot of the new ones did not hit correctly this year. But yeah, I just, that's such a great book.
I'm still thinking about that book. So
it was so good. Mm-hmm. Like, so I didn't put it on my list because I knew we were probably going to have it, but it was so good.
It was good.
Okay. So this book, Love and Other Conspiracies by Mallory Marlowe. It's a debut. I picked it up.
Was that a debut?
It was a debut.
Oh.
I picked up because the cover is adorable. I picked it up because the cover was adorable. And it was about cryptids. And if you know my girl child, you know her vibes on cryptids. And this book was so fun. Rom-com-ish, but not outlandishly rom-com. And the audiobook was phenomenal. So I want more cryptid books. I mean, you know, there's reasons.
Well, but the fact that the audiobook was good on a new book was something too.
What, Amanda?
I have a book series I need to send you for her about cryptids.
Okay. Anyway, we really liked Love and Other Conspiracies. Okay, Amanda, what you got next?
Okay. I'm sure everyone is tired of me talking about this, but The Ever Queen by LJ Andrews. It is true romanticy. I read the first three books in the Everseas this year. You can totally start with that series and not go back to the other one. It is really well done romanticy. It's like pirates meets Vikings in a whole, like the sea fae, the earth fae. It is It's very well done. They are not overly long. She's really good at world building. She gives you descriptions in each book, kind of a short recap of what happened, so you're never like lost. The characters are really dynamic. There's a ton of action, a good amount of romance. Like I'm not gonna ever stop talking about her probably now. So
Heather, what do you got?
I have The Study by Kelly Fox. It is a MM romance series. This was book four in the Lost Boys series. Jenny was my favorite because she binged the series with me. This was book four, and it was like the one we've been waiting for. It follows this group of friends and their teacher, and it just so happened that it was the widower, and it was so well done, and so much emotion, and so much crying, and it was just, it's such a great book, but an even better series.
Okay, Leah, what do you got?
I have Savage Little Games by Lane Hart. It is her new mafia series that she wrote. This one is Dante and Vanessa's story. He is the dad. He is the head of the mafia in Las Vegas. It's a really great series. It's dynamic and messy and chaotic, and some of the characters are a little bit psycho, and I really enjoy that. But it's one of those books where it's like fate is a big factor, but you aren't anticipating it to come together the way it does. But yeah,
That was a good one.
it was really good read.
So a new to me author this year was Alexandria House, and she has a three book hockey series. And I listened to the audio for Assist, which is book three, and it's just really dynamic. And it's Siobhan or Wesley Siobhan, I think. Wesley Siobhan. And she reads and I listen. Like I search her on Hoopla, so I know what books to listen to, 'cause I just love the way that she narrates in audio. So, and if you haven't read this series by Alexandria House, it starts with the book Goal. It's just so good. I cannot recommend it enough. Okay. Amanda, you're
Me, that was
next.
me. Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm bad at taking cues. Okay, so my next one is Aura Than Friends by Lulu Moore. I beta read for Lulu on her indie published stuff a lot, but this one was her first with Penguin, and so I didn't get it until ARCs went out, and I got it through NetGalley. I was worried because I don't always love college romance, right? Like it's not typically my favorite, but I got into this book and it's rival rowing teams at Oxford and Cambridge, which was just like so much fun. I'm obsessed with rowing. There's a really good dynamic that, they're kind of like sneaking around, seeing each other. And I really loved it. The next book is like coming out, I think, in February, so I have that one up soon to read, but I really like it a lot, so.
Okay, Heather, what do you got?
I have, we just read it and it was so good. It's X's and O's by Kayla. Is it
Gross.
Gross? Did I say that right?
Gross.
Gross. So this was, I think, a sip into, no, it was a book club
It was
book,
book club.
and it is an MMF book. I did the audio and oh my goodness, I can't stop thinking about this book. It is so good. It is everything that I love. It is spicy. It is very spicy. and there's lumberjacks. I just really like it. So if you like some of the books that I write like, then I think you would really like this book. And she has really great not safe for work art, BT Dubs.
What about you, Leah? What's your next book?
Okay, my next one is Little Sunshine by Layla Frost. It was book two in her Black Resorts series. This is Daddy Ash in Mila's book. It's one of those ones where he's a lot deeper than I was ever expecting. And like, he has his kinks, he has his things. He has this possessiveness, but he has this intensity to love, and we get back into like book one characters, and so we visit them again, and I just still love that book so much, and just being back in that world is just was really exciting. She's writing another one after this one, so it's gonna be a Why Choose, so I'm really excited about that because it's Freddie the Chef and other people. So
okay.
But yeah, it's just it's such a great story.
So my next one is Sleeping with the Frenemy by Natalie Kenya. Sorry, Amanda.
Okay, I took the other one. I knew you were going to take it. It's so good.
The Vega family is messy, and this book is messy. And I mean, if Natalie writes it, I'm a fan. I can't stop thinking about her books, her characters, the way she blends generations. I think that's what it is for me. It's the blending of the generations.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Whatever you're doing, Natalie, just keep doing it. So, okay, Amanda, you have two more. We're stopping at five, so two more.
I did my list. I mean, we're still doing like our favorite after that, right?
No. The next one around after this one will be your very top book.
You get one more and
then
top
my favorite.
And
then your favorite.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
So my next one will be a surprise to no one. It was Take It or Leave It by Lainey Hatcher. Lainey was new to me this year. I am completely obsessed with Kirby Falls. Like, I love this small town. And like you said, I think this goes back to more blue collar. They run apple farms. There's not billionaires rolling up in here as far as I know yet. These are all people who have lived in this area. The first book is Becca and Will. She is, you know, it's a little fish out of water. I don't know. There's just something about this that it like ticks all of my boxes for a small town. So if you're looking for a new small town, like I highly recommend Kirby Falls, and Take It or Leave It is book one.
Okay, Heather.
Okay. So I have two more, right?
Yeah.
So this was a tie between my top two. So this is my second. It's Sweet Like Whiskey by Emmy Sanders. So it's a MM cowboy small town. The town is Darlene. And so it's kind of a fish out of water. Ash needs a like new start. And so he heads to small town Montana where his college bestie lives. And he just kind of needs a new job, and he takes this job, and he meets Jack. Jack works on the ranch. His family owns it. And there's some really great chronic pain rep in this book. I think Emmy does a really great job kind of reflecting what it's like to live with chronic pain or chronic illness. And it is really good. Lots of tears, some angst. It's really good.
Okay, Heather, or Leah, sorry.
My next one is going to be Forever Starts Tonight by Carla Sorensen. I broke up with Carla for a little bit because I wasn't happy with a couple of, like, the last couple of books I had read from her. But then this one, it's sibling's best friend. Like, it's the youngest, wilder sibling, Poppy, and Jax, who is, like, friends with her oldest, not her, one of her older brothers. And just, he's such a damaged puppy that, like, you just want to hug him. But there's a lot of growth and a lot of healing and a lot of love in the fact that Poppy, like, she recognizes, like, I'm gonna take what I can and then I'm gonna step back, and I did my part, I did what I had to do, and he didn't reciprocate, so I'm not gonna allow that to stop me. And I think that that was one of the things I really liked about this book the most.
Okay. Well, this is hard. Okay. So
you're doing it to yourself. Hello.
I am. But actually, so this is an author I broke up with previously, and so it's Avery Flynn's Walk of Shame.
And oh, Lindsay loved this too.
We Lindsay loved Anger Bang last year. That was her top read of 2023. She's like, guys, I don't know why we're sleeping on this. Let's read it. We read it. I loved it. And then, so the follow-up to that is called Walk of Shame. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic. She gets left at the altar and then ends up in New York City. And her dad is the hockey coach of the team. Her ex plays on that team. Anyway, but she ends up falling in love with the skating coach who he's got some trauma in history. I don't know. It was classic Avery Flynn. It's what I love about her characters in her books. And it reminded me that I can break up with an author and come back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So that sometimes in that moment, it's not for me, which is, I think, part of the reason that I've started to do more of the soft DNFing than the hard DNFing. You know,
yeah,
not completely count a book out. Okay, Amanda, this is your top, tippity top, best of the read that is above all the other reads, except we will announce the podcast read of the year. And I know, so.
Yeah.
I know.
So my favorite book of the year was The Wrecked One by Brittany Shaheen. This is the final book in her Falcon Falls series. This is Oliver and Maya's book. Like this book absolutely wrecked me. The title is completely appropriate. Like I knew I was gonna like have a really good time or really love Oliver's book. Maya has been, they've both been around since like the Stealth Ops series, and like Oliver had been through some things and I thought I knew kind of like where it was gonna go with him. He had so much more damage than I ever imagined. And I've always liked Maya, but she wasn't like someone I was like desperate for her book, but she shows up in this book like so hard. Like she gets Oliver past like some stuff that like I didn't even know he was dealing with. Like things happen early in this book. Like my heart was broken. And she put it all back together again and brought in so many of my favorite characters. It was like the biggest reunion. My heart was so happy. Like, I have a lot of favorite books in this series. And after I read this one, I was like, oh my God, this is number one. Like, and for me to say that over some of the other books in the series, like, mm-hmm. you know, that this, like, it yeah. hit me like deep. So yeah. it's like, I'll never get over that book.
That book was your book.
It was.
Okay, Heather, top tippity top, the best of what read did you love more than any book this year?
Easton. By Riley Hart. It's in the Swift Brothers series, so it's book two. When you're talking about messy families, the Swift family is very messy. They're from like a small town in Michigan. There is so much trauma in this family. I think my review starts with, you know, the book is going to be amazing when you have to clean the tears off your glasses multiple times in the first two chapters. I sobbed, like I ugly cried through this book. Riley Hart totally broke me and then put me back together. So Easton is the youngest brother in the Swift family, and he is so broken and so touch starved. And then he falls in love with Archer, and he is a police officer, and how he came to be a police officer. It's just, this book is so well done. The mental health rep is so amazing. The way that it is handled, it is so, so good. And I love it. If you are going to read it though, there are trigger warnings that you have to adhere to because they're big.
So. They're big. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Leah, what was the best of the best of the best for you?
Okay, my best of the year is actually Gorgeous Villain by Charity Farrell. This was book three in her Mafia series that she did. But the interesting thing about this book, and it doesn't always work for authors, but so book one and book two happen, and they happen like one right after the other. But then you open this book, and it follows the storyline from prior to book one all the way through. So it covers years. But she does it so well and she gets it right. And that is one of the things that I really loved about this book, is because a lot of times authors will try that and they don't get things right, and it doesn't work, and it doesn't make sense. But the dynamic of these characters, and they're not, it's forbidden, and they're not supposed to be together, but they're like hiding their relationship and having this like existential crisis almost with the fact that they care about each other so much, but they can't be together. And it just, I just really, Charity Farrell really like found her flow in these mafia style books, like, and I just really enjoyed the whole story, the whole series, but this story was really well done.
So my tippy top read, best of book of 2024, is Everyone I Kissed Since You Got Famous by Mae
You
Marvel.
keep talking about that
I
one.
cannot stop thinking about this book. It was not especially si spicy. And so there was a conversation on Threads today about really strong banter, really great chemistry in a story can make up for less spice scenes, right? And this book had that, and friendship and forgiveness, and how life can be at different places, and the loss of friendship, the loss of a parent. I know. I read it back in June, July, and I didn't shut up about it. And this book,
You still haven't shut up
I still
about
haven't
it.
shut up about it. I listened to the audiobook. It was so good. And I know that sapphic romances often get a bad rap. And this book was just, it was gorgeous. It was everything I could ever want. I loved it so much. So, and I'm excited. I have their new book that comes out next year, and it's a spy. It's like Mrs. and Mrs. Smith.
Ooh.
So, sapphic spy couple that works together. So, I'm excited to read that. Okay. So, we have a podcast book of the year. The
We do.
majority of the podcast hosts read this book. We all loved it, loved it, loved it. I think it was the first book that we did on
Sip and discuss.
a sip and
Sip and
discuss
discuss.
Wednesday episode that got all four thumbs up. And there weren't, nobody was like, oh, plot holes, or eh, that was stupid. Like, there was none of that in this book. So the Buzzing About Romance top read of 2024 is Savor It by Tara DeWitt. It was exceptional. The audiobook was exceptional. This is one of those that if you just want something that's small town, gonna wreck you a little bit, but you're also gonna fall in love with the small town. Like, I was trying to explain to an author about the games that they, like the Olympics that the town plays to win the trophy and stuff. There's just something magical about this town. And we didn't know at the time of our recording if she was going to have another book in this series, because there are definite sets up for other couples.
Yes,
And the
she
rage,
does.
it does have a book two coming in this series, but the rage that the series might be a one-off, like, y'all
Rage
had
was
big
real.
feels. We were upset. Like, I mean, because she typically doesn't do more than one book. I mean, not that she has a few. I mean, she had like three out, and none of them like connected. So we were all like, what if she doesn't?
Yeah, and in her Publisher's Weekly deal announcement, it doesn't say anything about a series.
Well, but she messaged us, didn't
She
she? We didn't
did.
have to ask.
She did. She listened to the episode and was like, just so you all know, like,
Oh, I didn't know
the
that.
cover reveals in a couple weeks. There is a book two coming. You guys are going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Yeah, we
okay.
didn't have to, we did not have to seek that information out. She came to us.
She did. So,
Oh, feel.
right? Because don't make us mad.
Because that woman, oh man.
I'm still thinking about that book. Like, it is the only book I've annotated this year. I bought a physical copy so I could go through it again. Like, I pull up the highlights on my phone just to look at them sometimes. Like,
I
I
think about
am.
that scene with the sister and the duck, the goose.
Yes, Andy and Gary forever.
I think about that
Honestly, like
forever.
I finished this book and we happened to be going to my parents like the next day or something. I was like, Mom, give me your Kindle. I have a book you need to read. She's
I
like,
bought it
okay.
for people just randomly. I was like,
But then
please read it.
she proceeded to then read all the other Terhitowits
Terhitowits.
too. So she appreciated that.
There was just something magical about that story that gave us all the feels. And yes, there's a third act breakup, but it's not based on miscommunication. It was, based on the standards of the situation and the relationship. And so it's one of those where there was so much emotion and so much stakes. Like, to me, those are the books that I want. And it wasn't miscommunications or problems between the two of them. It
No.
was the other situations.
It was life.
It was life.
It was that's the thing. It was life, and it like really like showed how life is hard and you have to work,
I think
you have
about
to
that
work for it.
journal. Her
Yeah,
the
her mom's
journal.
journal. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Anyway, and we read that
It
book,
got me.
what, back in June?
I read it in April
Okay, you
because
read
I
it in
got,
April, but we reread it.
yeah.
You
Oh,
reread it
I
in
reread it in
June.
June. Yes.
Yeah,
And
and here we
yeah.
are 6 months later, and we all are still hung up. So
Yeah.
that says something about
Anytime
it.
I give book recs, that is one of the, like, to somebody I
Yeah.
don't give book recs to a lot. Like, that is one of the first books that I recommend.
Okay. So no book of the week this week because we gave you our book of the year. Okay, so this is the final Sunday of Project Backlist. At Buzzing About Romance, we know every romance reader loves discovering an author's backlist, where some of their best hidden gems are waiting to be found, and that's why we're thrilled to launch Project Backlist. I feel like it was a really successful endeavor. I feel
I
like
do
many
too.
of us, it got us to read some authors that we hadn't read in a minute, or we've never read that series. I hadn't read Erin Nicholas's Billionaires in Blue Jeans series, and I really loved it. I hadn't read Susan Stoker's The Refuge, and now I'm like four books into it. So this project has been really great for us. And I really hope you, the listeners, have enjoyed the project of Project Backlist. I had some people ask if we're going to keep this up. So these special features that we did, like with this last 8 weeks, that is now actually going to be an option for authors to use as a potential marketing for their books and their backlist in the podcast scene. But you will see us, especially for our Wednesday episodes and even into our quick shots that are exclusive over on our Patreon, we are going to be looking at books from backlists. But full out features like we did for this project, it'll be an opportunity for authors. So if you're an author and you're interested on how to be featured in a backlist segment, send us an email. So this week's project backlist is author Kate Meter. And actually, she's one of those that I don't think about a lot, but then I read one of her books and I'm like, oh yeah.
She's one of those ones that more people need to be reading.
The Hockey Wife was
Totally agree.
on my list as a possible top read, but because I limited everybody, I couldn't,
But she's sneaking it in.
but I'm
I
sneaking it in
know.
right there. But actually, the series that Kate picked for this segment was her Hot Chicago Rookie series, which is her firefighter series. Book one is called Up in Smoke, and I loved this book. I loved it. First responder, coworker, single dad, meet cute. He lives with his sisters. It's so cute. It is so cute. In Up in Smoke, Lieutenant Roman Rossi, well-ordered life as a Chicago firefighter, is upended when Abby Sullivan, a rookie on his crew, becomes a temptation he can't ignore. A chance encounter over cherry pie leads to a sizzling kiss, but now Abby's arrival at Engine 6 tests Roman's self-control as he balances professional responsibilities with undeniable attraction. Sparks fly, but one wrong move would jeopardize everything. This first installment in the Hot in Chicago Rookie series combines the high stakes of firefighters with the heat of forbidden romance. Abby and Roman are Spice. It's her boss. He's the single dad. They meet at a diner by chance before she's reported to the firehouse. So much great chemistry. His daughter is hilarious. And it's his sister. He lives with his sister, just one sister. She adds so much emotion. Her pages felt a little crowded in this book, but I know that she was getting ready to launch it in series. And I think there's four or five books out now in the Chicago.
There's five books in
Rookies. So
it's a good series.
But overall, these are memorable love stories filled with heat, heart, and relatability of humanity. So, like, her characters are real. I think that's what I love about her characters, is they're always really real.
Yep.
Okay, so Patreon update. I switched up some Patreon stuff, so make sure you check out our Patreon at patreon.com/bookcasingcoffee. Thank you to Swag Pack sponsoring authors for December, Delta James and Mary Carr. If you receive our Swag Pack tier, you will get those in January with the January mailing. For a list of books we talked about this weekend, please visit our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. You can also find the current list of books for our upcoming Wednesday episodes on our website. Don't forget to follow us on social media. I want to take a very quick minute and thank all of my co-hosts, Lindsay and Jenny, Amanda, Leah, and Heather, for once again creating an amazing year. We switched things up quite a bit this year with going live on YouTube. Then we changed over the quick shots to the Wednesday episode. So twice a week we're on the YouTube. I am very lucky to have these amazing humans in our life and sharing our love of romance. So thank you to each of you. Thank you to your spouses and partners for allowing you to spend several hours a week with me and for ignoring all of our text messages and not complaining. So thank you to each of you. And then thank you to the listeners of 2024. This was by far one of our most successful years. And we are growing, and I plan to keep on doing it through 2025. And we're going to hit some huge milestones in 2025. So it'll be our fifth year podcasting. And I think we will quickly, by like April, I think maybe March, we'll hit 200 and, or no, probably not till June. 20 weeks, 15 weeks. I don't know. We'll hit 200. We'll hit 250 episodes in 2025. Eventually. So thank you for making this such a great experience and for supporting Buzzing About Romance. Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
And happy 2024.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.